From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Hello, I'm Jake Trotter, OU beat writer with The Oklahoman, and I'm joined today by college football analyst Phil Steele, who puts out a tremendous college football preview magazine every year and also produces a lot of college football content throughout the season on his website, philsteele.com. Phil, thanks for joining me today. You had Oklahoma number one last year. You have them number two this year. Is that more of a case of Alabama, who you have number one, being the team to beat this season, or do you think Oklahoma maybe stepped down from last year?
Oh, no, I think Oklahoma clearly is probably even a step up from last year with their 16 returning starters. They're one of only four teams in the country that rank in my top units in all eight of the position categories in the front of the magazine. You know, they've got a veteran quarterback in Landry Jones, best set of receivers in the country, an improved offensive line. And the defense, you know, last year they did give up some garbage yards, which is part of the reason they allowed 362 yards per game. But the defense was not dominating at times. This year they've got the potential to be there, as they've got my number 19 set of defensive linemen, number 2 linebackers, number 3 DBs. And they're a complete team. They have my number 11 rated special teams. When I lined it up this year, I said, well, the two best teams, both undefeated, both in the national championship game, Oklahoma, Alabama. Who are you going to take, Phil? And I ended up going with the SEC team with the best defense in the country. And by that time, by the time the game would roll around, the national title game, Alabama's young quarterback left plenty of experience, including an SEC title game victory. And keep in mind, the last time Alabama won the national championship, 2009, they had an inexperienced quarterback. They had to replace their top running back. So basically, it was just me playing out the national title game and opting to go with the SEC team to win the title.
Is this the best defense Saban has had at Alabama?
You know, he's had some pretty good defenses right there. You look back in their national title year where they allowed 11.7 yards per game. This one is better than that unit. Remember last year, everybody had Alabama number one in the preseason. I didn't make a lot of fans in Tuscaloosa very happy because I had, did not have Alabama even playing in the national title game last year. And, you know, part of it was the defense only had 2 returning starters last season. This year they've got 10 returning starters. Their weakness on defense is a defensive line, which I only rate the 4th best unit in the country. They've got the best set of linebackers, best set of defensive backs, 4th best defensive line. There is no better defense in the country. I've got them allowing 11.1 points per game this year, 240 yards per game. I feel it is Saban's best defense.
Now, Alabama has an inexperienced quarterback, as you mentioned. With Oklahoma, you have Landry Jones, who's going into his third season as a starter. He had a fantastic finish to last year and was a big part of OU's 5-game winning streak to close out the season. Now, what's interesting is you have Landry Jones as a first-team All-American over Andrew Luck. I would venture to guess you're the only one who's going to have that those two guys in that order. Why did you put Landry over a guy that most people think will be the number one pick in the draft next year?
Well, and as you can tell, when you flip down on the All-American page where I rank the quarterbacks, I've got Luck listed number one because it's a no-brainer. This guy's going to be the
right
first pick in next year's draft, and he would have been the first pick in this year's NFL draft. But if you flip back to the projection page in the back of the magazine, it projects out, I play the teams against the schedule and project out the yards for each team. I've got Stanford throwing for 280 yards per game. I've got Oklahoma throwing for 370 yards per game. That's an extra 90 yards per game pass offense for Oklahoma, which means Landry Jones is going to have over 1,000 yards more passing than Andrew Luck this year. I think he's got better receivers to throw to for starters. You look at Stanford, they've got decent receivers, but they're not in my top units in the country. Stanford also only has my number 38 rated offensive line in front of them. They lose Harbaugh, who was their head coach. I just think when you look at the two quarterbacks statistically at the end of the year, there'll be that big of a difference between Landry Jones' stats and Andrew Luck's stats. Ignore the fact that Luck's going to get picked first in the NFL. I think Landry Jones will have the better year statistically and deserve that honor.
Does he have a real shot to win? I guess he would be the third quarterback to win a Heisman under Stoops. Does he have a legitimate chance to be that guy?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you know, the Heisman Trophy is not necessarily an individual award. It's sort of, you have to have a team that's up there among the top teams in the country, most likely unbeaten, because Heisman voters, once a guy's team loses a game, say, well, he couldn't get them to win that particular game. I think Andrew Luck drops out of it somewhat early because I do forecast Stanford to get a couple of losses this year. My top two players for the Heisman Trophy this year, you're looking at Landry Jones of Oklahoma, who I think will be have an undefeated Oklahoma team and put up tremendous stats. And then Trent Richardson, Alabama. Remember 2 years ago, Mark Ingram replaced a rusher who had rushed for 1,350 yards and 5.9 yards per carry. All Ingram did was take home the Heisman Trophy because Alabama is a running back-oriented offense. Trent Richardson is going to get the bulk of the carries there. With both teams being unbeaten, I know how Heisman voters work. Those are the two guys they'll be looking at, will be Landry Jones and Trent Richardson.
You know, I think Landry Jones gets a lot more credit nationally than sometimes he does locally because of the guy he followed in Sam Bradford, who was just unbelievable in his time at OU. You have Landry as the number two draft-eligible quarterback, which I think to some people here seems high, but I mean, he really is a tremendous pro prospect. Barry Switzer said it last year before Landry even got too far into the season that he was going to be a first round pick. Is this a top 10 guy? I mean, is this a guy who could be in the top 10 of the draft next year with a solid season?
Oh, absolutely. I think I've got him projected to go the fifth pick in the first round of the draft. Keep in mind, there are so many spread quarterbacks in the NFL in the college game right now. Spread quarterbacks don't necessarily translate well into the NFL. They want somebody that's going to be able to be in the pocket and, not the mobile running quarterback like is really a lot of colleges are going to that. Landry Jones is a pocket passer. He's a guy that can take snaps from center. He's a guy that's hit 66% of his passes with a 38-12 ratio last year, and I think he'll improve upon those stats this year. And then, folks wondered how Bradford would play in the NFL. I think Sam Bradford's success will have folks saying, you know what, here's a big kid. He's 6'4", 230. He's got a good arm. He puts up good stats. He's following Bradford. Bradford did pretty well in the NFL. I think you'll see his draft stock go way up, and that's why I've got him number 5 to the draft.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Other than Landry, what do you really like about the Sooner team?
Everything. You know, like I said, they're one of only four teams in the country that rank in my top units in all eight position categories. At running back, you're looking at, I think Brandon Williams is going to come in and star as a true freshman. He's a guy that can do that, but, you know, they've got Roy Finch, who was very impressive last year as a true freshman. They've got Brennan Clay, so the running backs are deep. Best set of receivers in the country. You have Broyles, Stills, numerous what I call VHTs are among the top recruits coming out of high school. And then the reason I pushed them past Arkansas this year was they've got the tight end and James Hanna. Arkansas loses their tight end and DJ Williams. So best set of receivers in the country. You know, the offensive line hasn't been where you've wanted it to be the last couple of years. In fact, only 3.3 yards per carry last year. But four returning starters, I like the talent they have. I rate it the number 18 offensive line. And as mentioned, the defense gave up 362 yards. You can take out some of that as, you know, Oklahoma got big leads last year and gave up some yards and points late. Look at a Florida State game. They gave up, a 50-yard completion on the last play of the game to give up 7 points, 50 yards offense. But I think the defense will be, I've got the defense rated number 3 in the country this year, and the special teams are number 11. So if you got the number 1 offense, the number 3 defense, the number 11 special teams, you know, what's not to like about this Oklahoma team this year?
One position ranking I thought was curious was the defensive backs. You have them number 3 in the country. They lose, you know, Quentin Carter and Jonathan Nelson at safety. Jamel Fleming is kind of up in the air whether he'll be back or not. I think most people expect him to, but he didn't go with the team in spring drills. He's kind of been on his own a little bit in the off season. So that just leaves DeMontre Hurst as a returning starter who's a solid player, but maybe not an All-American caliber corner. What do you see in the secondary that you really like? I'm assuming that you're banking on the potential of an Aaron Colvin, of a Javon Harris, so on and so forth.
Yeah, and Stoops has proven that he can replace 3 starters and still finish at the top. You look at 2008, they lost 3 starters, finished number 11 in my past defense rankings. 2009, they had to replace 2 starters. And in fact, 3 of the starters that they had were not VHTs. They still finished number 3. Last year, they had to replace 2 starters, a first and second team Big 12 player. And then one of the returning starters, Sam Proctor, lost his job. When it all finished, Oklahoma was number 7. I do like the overall talent. I think Fleming's going to end up being back. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. It's just a question of how do they use him. You know, is he in the starting lineup right away? Is he their number three corner? Because Gabe Lynn looked pretty good in the spring. I mean, how do they utilize him? Because I thought he was their best defensive back last year, even with Quentin Carter. I mean, he really had a nice season at corner for him. But I think that's going to be a big key, how they utilize him, how they work his way back into the lineup.
Yeah, those things tend to go away after 1 week. You'll see him back, I think, in the starter role. So I do have two starters back this year. A lot of talent in the secondary, and probably a little bit more talent than they had a couple of years ago when they finished number three. So you just look at the proven track record. Oklahoma always produces a solid secondary, and I think they'll do that once again this year.
What do you think could be the Achilles heel of this team?
You know, probably what you just touched upon. You know, the question mark in the secondary with Fleming. Should he not get put back into it? And then, to me, the major factor, though, is, as I mentioned, I'm not really concerned with any of the eight units, how Oklahoma plays on the road. That was very disappointing last year to see him go into Missouri, go into Texas A&M, and blow all those red zone opportunities. Those were two games they could easily have had in their back pocket. You look at the Missouri game, they had a 301-99-yard edge at the half, but because they blew three red zone opportunities, two turnovers, a missed field goal, they actually trailed at the half. Texas A&M, first and goal three times, most of them at the one-yard line, 0 points on those drives. You can't do that. That just throws your games away. Oklahoma did not play as well on the road, anywhere near on the road, the last 2 years as they have at home. At home, they're absolutely dominant. On the road, there's somewhat of a question mark. Even the Oklahoma State game at the end of the year last year only won it by six. I thought they could have won it by more, and statistically they could have won it by more. So probably the biggest Achilles heel that I see for Oklahoma, can they win the big games on the road? Because they do have to play Florida State on the road and Oklahoma State on the road this year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the schedule. It basically comes down to those two games. Because of the way OU has played at home, they really don't have any other road games where you look at, you know, they're going to have a hard time. I mean, I think they'll be double-digit favorites in every road game, and they get Texas A&M and Missouri and Norman.
Yeah, the Texas game, you know, don't just discount the Horns.
Right.
They've been a team that's been pretty good. They have a lot of talent there. I've got Oklahoma a 7-point favorite in that game, but you're right. All the other ones, Baylor, I've got them a 17-point favorite on the road. Kansas State, 17. Kansas, 24. So big favorites in those. Florida State, Oklahoma State on the road, those are the big two. Now, if they play against Florida State like they did last year, I mean, they led that thing 47-10, and really they put the offense away at the half. They scored on almost every possession in the first half. That thing was a beatdown, showing the difference between the two teams. If they play anywhere near that level, they should be able to win that. And the Oklahoma State game, you know, as mentioned in the season final last year, they had a 588-379-yard edge, 28-19 first down edge, but it was just wild in the fourth quarter. Big plays one after the other and a lot of touchdowns being put on the board late in that 47-41 win. But, you know, while neither is an easy setting, I think Oklahoma is capable of winning both.
You've seen some teams that have had to deal with that's from one of their players. You know, Connecticut with Jasper Howard a couple of years ago. Vernon Grant here at Oklahoma State a few years ago. How do you think this team will handle the loss of Austin Box?
I think they'll be able to overcome it. You know, position-wise, they're deep enough at the linebacker unit. And, you know, really, it happened early enough where I think by the time the season rolls around, you know, at the Connecticut thing, that happened in the middle of the season. That's really going to be a distraction. You know? But here, I think they're going to rally around. I mean, Austin Box was a great kid. He was somebody that had an injury-plagued career, could easily have been a star. It looked like he was rounding into that form this year. And I think Oklahoma plays a little bit harder in his memory.
Let's broaden out to the Big 12 a little bit. You have obviously have OU winning the league. You know, one team that you're down on again this year, and I think you wrote in your magazine you expected to be on a lot of talk shows in the state of Oklahoma, is Oklahoma State after their 11-win season last year. I believe you picked them to finish sixth in the South last year. You weren't alone. There were a lot of people that weren't high on OSU. But this year you have them 19th in the country and tied for third in the Big 12 with Texas. What is your reasoning behind picking the Cowboys that low?
Yeah, you know, a couple of folks have said, Phil, I mean, you had Oklahoma State ridiculously low last year. Do you realize there wasn't a single magazine, publication, internet site that had Oklahoma State ranked last year? Stassen.com monitored the top 19 sites and magazines out there. Not a single one had Oklahoma State ranked. No one had Oklahoma State finishing above fourth in the Big 12 South, and numerous publications had him either fifth or sixth. There were only a couple that even had him fourth. So, I mean, it looked like a rebuilding year for Oklahoma State. I wasn't the only one calling for a down year. As I mentioned, nobody had him even ranked last season. But this year, when I look at Oklahoma State, I've got a couple of question marks. The first one is at the running back spot. Kendall Hunter was a complete back. Now, they've got some good backs, and Joseph Randall, Jeremy Smith, they each have their individual fortes, but neither of them strikes me as the complete back. So I'm wondering how they're going to replace the running back position. Also, Dana Holgorsen is gone. This guy's been a magician in the offensive coordinator position at both Houston and Oklahoma State. We'll see how they fare this year without Holgorsen in control. Of course, Gundy's done pretty well, as with his offense so far there. And then you look at the defensive front seven this year. They only have two starters back in the defensive front seven. Neither the defensive line or linebackers rank in my top unit in the front of the magazine. And then something that I always look at, and you look at Auburn last year for an example. Schedule is vital. Auburn really, if you look at them pure talent-wise, at the start of the year and all the close games they won early, they were a team that got better as the season went on. But they had the schedule to go unbeaten last year. All the tough games were at home, and you looked at their road slate and you said, that's all winnable. In fact, in the magazine, I wrote Auburn had a great shot at being 11-0 when they played Alabama at the end of the season. Well, Oklahoma State, if you look at the Big 12 schedule, my top teams in the Big 12, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Texas, Oklahoma State, Missouri, and Texas Tech. Those are the top six teams in the power poll. Oklahoma State plays one of them at home, Oklahoma, a team that beat them at home last year. On the road, they have to play Texas, Texas A&M, Missouri, and Texas Tech. It is by far the toughest schedule of any Big 12 team. They're going to have to win four road games against teams that are in their level talent-wise. So they've got the exact opposite schedule of what they had last year. I do think their offense is explosive. I rate it number two in the country. My question marks this year, defense and schedule, and that's why I've got them down there at number 19.
You mentioned the OU-Texas game. You can kind of throw out the record sometimes in that one. I mean, even last year with the way Texas struggled, they gave OU all it wanted in the Cotton Bowl. The Sooners held on 28-20 and needed a muffed punt return at the end of that game to seal it. Can Texas bounce back this year?
Absolutely. And you look a couple years ago, Colt McCoy is a sophomore. He had a pretty rough year. He had 18 interceptions, and coming into the year, nobody really looked at Colt McCoy as much of anything, and then he led Texas to in 2008 a 12-1 record, and so it worked out pretty good for him. As a junior, he played much better. And last year, they had the interception problem. I mean, their starting quarterback Garrett Gilbert had a 10-17 interceptions. I think he still holds on to the job, wins it this year, and he'll be vastly improved. And they've got a great supporting cast. But to me, the biggest difference in Texas this year, as opposed to Texas in the last 5 years, is going to come at that running back position. When Colt McCoy was a quarterback, he actually led the team in rushing two of the 4 years. I have not seen a running back emerge as a feature back at Texas. Well, they got one this year, and Malcolm Brown, he's a true freshman. A lot of folks say, Phil, how can you project a true freshman to be so high on your list? Look at Marcus Lattimore, South Carolina last year. True freshman, steps in. South Carolina hadn't had a 1,000-yard rusher since 2001. Marcus Lattimore was arguably one of the best running backs in the country last year as a true freshman. I think Malcolm Brown will have the same impact. And if they have a running back they can feed the ball to, the rest of the offense all of a sudden gets a lot better, including their quarterback. Now, defensively, there wasn't a lot wrong with Texas. They only gave up 300 yards per game last year. They gave up 23.7 points per game because they were minus 12 in turnovers.
Right.
They put them in bad positions. The offense didn't move the ball. If the offense is better, that defense, I've got them rated the number two defense in the country. So this is a dangerous Texas team. 12 returning starters. If Malcolm Brown lives up to my potential, I think they get much better quarterback play. They've got the defense. I only have an underdog in two games this year, and that is at Texas A&M and the game against Oklahoma. I think the close ones, Oklahoma State, Missouri, we'll see if this team is capable of getting there. But, you know, don't discount the fact that this is a Texas team that was 25-2 the previous 2 years. I think they're going to more resemble the 25-2 team than last year's 5-7 squad.
Well, that'll be interesting to see if they can bounce back. Nationally, looking at the national championship picture, you have Oklahoma, you have Alabama. Who are some other teams that could make a run at that title game?
Well, you know, if everybody slips up, there's that Boise State team waiting out there. And if Boise State can get past Georgia in the opener, which is not going to be easy, it's in Atlanta, It's going to be a hostile crowd. Georgia's loaded this year. But I think Boise State's got the opportunity. They've got a veteran senior quarterback in Kellen Moore, led the NCAA in pass efficiency. You know, the schedule, a little bit tougher than last year, but still not that tough. It's not Big 12, not SEC standards whatsoever. You look at their road games after that Georgia game, you know, Toledo, Fresno State, Colorado State, UNLV, San Diego State, tougher than last year. But I think when you look at Boise State with 14 returning starters, they're a team capable of playing in the national title game if all the big boys lose one. You have to look at Oregon. When Oregon is going to be explosive offensively, and I know you look at their offensive line, you say, well, they only have two returning starters. They only had two returning starters 2 years ago, and they did pretty well. They averaged 5.5 yards per carry, 36.1 points per game. They've got the best running backs in the country, LaMichael James, Kenyon Barner, and company. They've got a veteran quarterback now in Darren Thomas. And, you know, defensively, they only have five starters back, but I think the offense is probably explosive enough to get them possibly back to the title game. They've got two tough tests. They have to play LSU in Arlington. That's going to be a tough one out of the box, and then Stanford on the road. But I think they're capable of even winning those and are a title contender. And then one other team I'll throw out that nobody's talking about. They're down there. They're, to my mind, they're this year's Auburn team, because if you look at them talent-wise, they're probably about the 15th best team in the country. But they're a team very capable of running the table, and that's Virginia Tech. And comparing them to Auburn, you know, last year's Auburn team had a first-time starting quarterback, big guy, Cam Newton, big, strong, mobile, cannon for an arm. Well, Virginia Tech's got Logan Thomas. And when I talked to Coach Beamer in the Maxwell Awards, his face just lit up talking about Thomas. 6'6", 245, mobile, strong arm. This guy is going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the NCAA as a first-time starter. They've got a veteran offense around them with my number 37 set of running backs, number 20 receivers, number 30 offensive line, and last year's defense. I mean, keep in mind, their defensive coordinator has had Bud Foster, tremendous defenses. They were number 4 in the country in 07, number 7 in the country in 08, number 12 in 09. Last year, number 52. Now, that's not going to happen again. They're going to have their usual great defense. And then you look at their road schedule. At East Carolina, at Marshall, at Wake Forest, at Duke, at Georgia Tech. Who runs the option? They have a week off prior to prepare for it. And at Virginia. They'll be favored in all the road games. And there's really no tremendous tough game on the schedule. Clemson, Miami of Florida, North Carolina, their toughest three games. None of those teams in the top 10. They get them all at home. They really have the talent and the schedule to run the table this year and be this year's Auburn.
Well, great stuff, Phil. I really appreciate it. Tell everybody where they can pick up a copy of your magazine or even order it online if they could.
Well, I appreciate that, Jake. The magazine hits the newsstands today. It's across the country and should be at all the fine newsstands out there. But you can also go online to philsteele.com. That's STEELE.com. Loaded with information. In fact, I put all my information for the football season up on the line, so when I'm at home working, I can just click on there. Check out the team pages, check out the daily blog, lots of great stuff. That's Phil Steele, STEELE.com.
Well, thanks, Phil. Appreciate it. This is Jake Trotter from the Oklahoman. You're listening to NewsOK.com.
From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.